This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Panasys, the leading supplier of high-performance parallel storage for technical computing applications and big data workloads. www.panasys.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
AMD Troubles.
And SC12 Winners and Losers. Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite, available every Friday from iTunes and Stitcher. It's Friday, November 16th, 2012, and we're live at Supercomputing 2012 in Salt Lake City. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined by my regular partner, Michael Feldman of HPC Wire. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Addison?
We're putting the wraps on another supercomputing. Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. It's a few hours away. It'll all be over. We talked, of course, a lot about the big news that came out early in the show, and we've been enjoying the show since then.
And we're going to do a little bit of wrap-up stuff now with a couple of the main stories. There's so many product launches. We'll do another special podcast on Tuesday to try to wrap up some of the product news.
Right. We'll have to catch up ourselves and go through the 100 or 200 press releases that crossed the wire. But, right now we're going to try and hit the highlights of what we thought was the most interesting things, especially since the last 4 days since we talked about the top 500 and the initial news about the accelerator launches. So, well, Addison, did you see anything that was a real surprise during the show?
The biggest surprise actually came from outside the show. On Tuesday afternoon, and then really let out of the bag Wednesday morning, there was a news story broken by Reuters that AMD has engaged J.P. Morgan to help the company through a financial crisis and look at options for selling off parts of the technology, parts of the patent portfolio, or potentially the entire company.
Right. I saw that, too. That was a big surprise all of a sudden. I mean, AMD is sitting here at the show with their booth. They're showing people things. And this news hits the... It was
pretty distracting for AMD right there.
I mean, they're always at a show, obviously. There's never a good time to have news like this. But, Now, of course, AMD, not of course, but they've denied that this is going on, that they're trying to actually sell the company.
Well, I think so. It's a question of what's actually true here. This was, first of all, pretty evidently a leak of something that did not intend to go public. And I think it caught not only a lot of us here by surprise, but the AMD representatives here by surprise and gave them a really unwanted distraction. I think the way of these things is it's normally done behind closed doors, and I think selling the whole company is probably an option that's on the table. Whether or not it's the primary option will remain the source of speculation.
Right. I think there was some talk of selling off certain pieces of it to generate some income. They've got their fingers in a lot of different pies now. I mean, obviously they've got the GPU business, the CPU business, and within those, there's sub-businesses that could probably be carved off, but no real word on what that's going. And AMD is obviously not going to talk about this at this point, so we'll just have to wait and see
An unfortunate distraction on top of their launches, especially when they're trying to compete with Intel and NVIDIA for the spotlight, and there was actually a lot of news around ARM as well.
Right, exactly. I mean, in a sense, they have three competitors. I mean, now supposedly they're going to be into ARM themselves in a couple of years, but this was an unfortunate timing for them. I mean, they had their FirePro launch we talked about on Monday, and then prior to the show, they had their new Opteron launch, which really didn't get much play in this environment for AMD, unfortunately.
Yeah, it really wound up being a distraction, all the attention on those other chips right now. Now, we talked about some of those chip launches on our previous podcast on Tuesday, our special edition podcast. We've got a little more news coming in on those with regards to how they did on the Green 500.
Yeah, the Green 500, we sort of previewed that prior to the show. We thought Titan was going to come out very strong because of the new K20X, but actually it came out in third place.
And it wasn't that Sequoia beat it.
It wasn't Sequoia. Sequoia is now pushed down, to the bottom five of the list, or I should say, five to ten. Previously, it was all Sequoia at the top. So we've got
all Blue Jeans.
All Blue Jeans, yeah.
But it's not Blue Jeans at the top anymore.
No more Blue Jean Qs at the very top. So we've got at the very top, we've got the Intel Phi machine, sort of a smallish 100 teraflop machine that
smallest 100 teraflop machine. It puts it somewhere in the middle of the top 500 list, right?
Right, by top 10 standards. So that's at the National Institute for Computational Scientists, and it's a very heavy Intel 5. I think there's like four of those per node. So not too surprising it might get the best power performance, because it really depends upon how many accelerators you sort of put into a node on how much energy efficiency. We all sort of know that the accelerators by themselves have more energy efficiency than the CPU, so if you start to mix them in a heavier ratio, you're going to get much higher energy efficiency. So that came out on top by a good margin. Then in number two... So
interesting for Intel to get the Xeon Phi machine right at the top of the list, right?
Right. I mean, I think that was...
It's important for them for their launch. Then what was number two?
Yeah, so number two was a machine called Sanam at KAUST in Saudi Arabia. That was a FirePro machine, AMD FirePro that we just talked about on Monday.
Two of the new Intel chip and the new AMD chip hitting the top of the list at 1-2.
Right, and that was a smaller machine too, and I'm not sure about the ratio there, but I'm guessing there was a pretty high ratio of FirePros to CPUs there. Because number three, the one we had talked about so much, was the number one on the top 500 list is Titan, and that had basically the K20X from NVIDIA. Now that has a 1-to-1 CPU to GPU ratio, so a lot of that power, or half the power, is going, or a good portion is going to the CPU there.
Right.
The thing is, I mean, I don't want any of our listeners to get too confused by this, because taken apart, the new Tesla is the most energy efficient of those three chips we just mentioned. But
we've heard some criticism that the very top of the list here might be starting to get dominated by trick systems, in a sense, where you know, I've got a system that would be somewhere on the top 500 list, but I'm willing to take a bump on Linpack by really taking the power down, because I don't really care if I'm 200 or 220 on the top 500 list if it'll move me from 8-to-1 on the green 500 list.
Yeah, I think that's a definite possibility, that people are starting to game it a little bit, although these are good experimental systems, certainly for a new chip like the Xeon Phi or the FirePro. People are going to try and figure out if they can program these things and extract the performance out of it. But it's not, I mean, I agree, I hesitate to call them stunt machines, because I think these are real machines. People paid real money for them.
Well, I think it's a question of configuration, though. Just like we've gotten used to in the past being almost immune to someone saying, well, this isn't the Linpack configuration they ran isn't really the configuration they're going to use in production. I think we're going to see that now with some of the green 500 systems as well. You reconfigure it a little bit for your Linpack run to get a really good green 500 score, but that's not the way we're actually going to use the machine in production.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we know the Titan machine, they had that scoped out for years, and that's going to be a production machine for Oak Ridge, obviously, and the programs there.
Still, seems like we've officially made it to the dawn of the or through the dawn of the accelerated era, and we're now kind of on into mid morning here.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, those three accelerators that we talked about are now at the top of the Green 500, or they're being powered there, I think is significant unto itself. And Sequoia, obviously, I mean, and BlueGenQ is obviously still a very power efficient system.
Yep.
It's been there for a year now, and then it's not like they can come out with a new BlueGene every year like NVIDIA or Intel can come out with a new chip, basically. So, yeah, so that's, we're going to see that for a while, and we'll just watch that trend. But, yeah, accelerators had a big show here.
Well, let's take a quick break then, Michael, and we'll come back. And I always like at the end of the show getting together with you and doing the SC winners and losers, our traditional category.
Sounds like fun.
Panasus provides its global customers with unmatched scale-out NAS performance and easy-to-manage storage solutions for their most compute-demanding applications. Panasus Active Store enables customers to rapidly solve complex computing problems, speed innovation, and accelerate new product introductions. All Panasus storage products deliver superior performance, data protection, scalability, and manageability, and are optimized for demanding storage environments in the bioscience, energy, finance, government, manufacturing, and university markets. For more information on the Panasus ActiveStore Parallel Storage Solution for technical computing applications and big data workloads, visit www.panasus.com.
All right, Michael, it's Friday. We're getting ready to pack up and go home. We'll have more product launches that we'll do as in the news on Tuesday, but we've digested the show a little bit. We're going to do our traditional winners and losers for the show. We've got to each go one up, one down. Which do you want to do first, winners or losers?
Let's do winners first.
All right, winners first. Who's your winner for SC-12?
I'm going to pick Cray. I think they had different aspects to their show here, that, and it all came out positive. I mean, before the show, they launched Cascade, and it's basically they came in early, actually, shipping that system. I thought that was a good story. They've been working on that for a while. Obviously, that was the DARPA. They had some help with DARPA funding there, but they put a lot of money into it, too, obviously, even more than DARPA did. And it looks like it's going to sell really well. They've got a lot of pre-orders for it, and that's an exciting machine, their first Intel machine.
Well, I'll tell you what, anytime there's a new number one on the top 500 list, you figure that's normally going to be one of the top things people are talking about. For us as analysts walking around the show, that wasn't even in the top three things people were asking us about Cray. And they had so much news going on. Number one, with the APRO acquisition, everyone asking us about that. Number two, people still asking us about their interconnect futures and, you know, wanting to make sure that Cray is still going to be around with differentiated stuff. But then beyond that, the news with Cascade was really big news. So, you know, the fact that they had new stuff with Synexion almost even got lost entirely, and we'll come back around and do that on Tuesdays. It's a huge news show for Cray, almost all of it good. It's a really good pick for you there.
Yeah, and I think the APRO news was interesting, and from what I've heard and from what I think about it, I think that was a good buy for them. I thought $25 million, that's going to be money well spent.
Everyone agrees that they got a good price on it,
and
they ought to be able to really make money with that acquisition.
Yeah, that might be very important, but we'll have to watch that in the years ahead.
And by the way, we didn't say amidst all of that Cray is on a pretty good run of quarterly results, and they really nailed their Q3 number right prior to the show and brought up their outlook for the rest of 2012 and into 2013. Stock price has a big bump. It's really Cray's on a roll here.
I agree. Yeah, I think they are. So for this show, who's your big winner?
I got to go with a category for a big winner. I was pleased and impressed at how much big data stuff there was at the show. As far as a theme goes at this show, there's a lot of big data, huge area of opportunity. Big data is the winner for the show.
Oh, yeah, that's a good pick. There was a tremendous amount of big data sessions and vendors talking about it. That's for sure.
Vendors talking about it, almost all of them in a really good way. If anything, you know, it's a supercomputing show, so the discussions here tended to skew a little more to the discussions of big data is, you know, I've got hundreds of petabytes of huge files,
right,
which is a slightly different definition of big data than a lot of other people would use. Not to say it's, you know, one is valid or invalid. It's an aspect of big data. The only ones I really had a problem with were the couple of vendors that were still stuck in this notion that big data equals Hadoop. You know, Hadoop is the biggest brownie in the pan, and if you want only one brownie, then I guess you can go eat the Hadoop brownie, but there's a lot of other brownies in that pan too.
Right, and especially for HPC. I mean, Hadoop can be a problematic framework for HPC workloads for what we're doing. And some people even think Hadoop might not even be around in 2 years, but definitely big data encompasses a lot here, and I think in the years and months ahead, it's going to encompass even more. So that's a good pick.
Thank you very much. You want to go over to the loser side now?
Let's go over to the loser side. We'll sort of end on a down note, but that's okay. This was, you know, it wasn't all great news here. My big loser for the show, I think, was the federal government. I think they made sort of a horrendous decision to basically lock out DOE and to affect some of the other things that were going on here with NSF and DOD. We saw a reduced presence there to a certain extent. And I think the conference was, suffered from it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the final numbers. Overall, attendance off by 10 or 15%, something like that. We'll have to check the final attendance number. The show floor did a good job of absorbing a lot of those missing booths. I think
they did.
It would have been a good thing if you had a neighboring booth to one of the ones that disappeared. I think a lot of companies got good deals on expanding their booth footprint out there. I hope that this is in a sense, a one-year anomaly that, you know, obviously we'll start getting people back. But talking to Chris Willard, my partner, he had a good insight that maybe what the GSA scandal and some other things did is give an opportunity for a for a refresh here, a reset. Not that we don't want to have the booths and the presence, but how much should it be really? Some of those national labs used to have huge booths and
right.
a lot of people attending, and maybe it was too much. And, you know, what you do now is right size it. Let's bring it all back, but let's be sane about how much it is.
Yeah, that could be a very interesting compromise, and that probably very reasonable. But we'll see what happens. I mean, who knows what's going to go on in the federal government. But I
right.
thought by itself that was a bad decision. And like you said, attendance
I agree.
Down.
It's a bad decision because SC12 is about community. And to miss a show like this is to say you're not part of the supercomputing community. And that's just unexcusable for a lot of these U.S. government sites.
Right. And this is an important show and for these sites and for the government. I mean, they're you know, the administration and Congress and everybody's trying to promote this sort of technology, and it's not good to lessen that in this way.
I will say, though, that I think as far as the attendance gap goes, probably a large portion of that number is not the government employees themselves, but the vendor side holding back their federal sales teams in response. You know, if the guy you're going to go meet with and sell to isn't going to be there, then I don't need to send the sales force either.
Yeah. Bummer all around. But like you said, hopefully that'll right itself in the year ahead. So what was your loser for the show?
I'll tell you a company I was disappointed in terms of just the announcements they had around the show and the things they've been putting out recently relative to the role that they have in the community is HP. I felt like, you know, while they do have some announcements in this space, a lot of what I'm seeing from them recently is not really focused on high-performance computing. They do have some stuff for big data, I guess, but big data is not always equivalent to high-performance computing. A lot of what they're saying now is more of a facilities message. I just think relative to performance, price performance, the kinds of things we'd like to see there, HP could have had a much stronger message.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been sort of the vanilla system server company. They've got a big share, obviously, but yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody looks at them as huge innovators trying to hit the cutting edge. They just make good money and they make it in volume here. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see them come out with something you know, more exciting. Certainly from the journalistic side. I mean, I think something interesting they're doing is they're active in the microserver space, and that's not necessarily oriented towards high-performance computing, but I think there's certain technologies and configurations of that technology that would be very interesting for this space. And HP does have that interest. They've put some funding and research and development into it. It'd be interesting for them to sort of pursue that and come up with a microserver-based product that was specifically targeted to HPC.
Yeah, HP is doing some interesting things in some interesting areas, and I want to also make the point that I think they're fighting the distraction of being another one of these companies that's struggling right now. You know, they've got some losses on the consumer side, and it takes a lot of the focus off of what's going on in the areas that's good, which is unfortunate when you're getting your marketing budgets cut in one side to fuel losses in another side. I'd like to be able to see HP double down on performance areas where they should be doing better.
Yeah, I mean, that sector's certainly doing better, and they're doing well in that. So, yeah, it would be nice to see that some investment there, for sure, or greater investment.
Well, let's try to wrap up on at least a positive note. Did you have fun in Salt Lake City this week?
You know, it was fun. I mean, it was, you know, everybody kind of hit the snow here. It was cold for sure.
I did not mind the snow and the cold. I think that was fun.
It's gorgeous here with all the snow, and it was sunny days in the middle of the week. And yeah.
These are big, long blocks to walk, though. You think you're close to something, and holy cow.
Yeah, it was a little hard getting around. I think I heard different people complaining.
Big L-shaped show floor. I should have brought a bike to go from meeting to meeting.
But I kind of like this city. I wasn't really expecting it to be like this. It's a cute little downtown, lots of nice restaurants and places to go to.
And I had a great time, and I always have a great time at supercomputing. I'm always tired at the end, but I'm looking forward to the next one, and we get to go to Denver next year.
Denver, another kind of mountain city, probably be just as cold, but yeah.
Now, the last time supercomputing was in Denver, that was in 2001, and we had a warm snap. It was 70 degrees all week long. It was beautiful.
Well, hopefully we can do that again, global warming. And all, but yeah, looking forward to that. And this, I guess, this wraps up our show. Like Addison said, we'll be reviewing some of the product launches that we missed covering during the live shows here. But yeah, a lot of interesting products coming out.
Great, Michael. I look forward to talking to you again on Tuesday, and then we'll take next Friday off for American Thanksgiving. And then we'll be back on our regular Friday schedule.
Sounds good, Addison. Safe travels back.
Safe travels to you too, Michael.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Panasis, the leading supplier of high-performance parallel storage for technical computing applications and big data workloads. www.panasys.com.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.